Smithfield Town Planning Commission, Monday, November 22nd, 2021 at 6 p.m.
Everybody being here, if you wouldn't mind standing, we'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance before we begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll now have an opening prayer by
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Dear Father, now, I'm grateful for the employee of the evening, the 28 years. I'm glad you were grateful for the blessings that I've given us and not be living to be a pleasure. And I certainly be here to go forth and be successful things with the improvement, better the community and better our lives, Lord. To be grateful for against all of our blessings and for one another, we can be grateful for the family and the
friends. Amen. Okay, I don't know if you had a chance to kind of see the objective of the meeting. It was on the board just a minute ago. Basically, we're not going to make any action movements in this meeting tonight. This is a meeting where the public will come to the mic. You'll have 2 minutes. You'll state your name,
you'll share any questions, concerns. I assume most of you received something in the mail, whether you're the landowner or something like that. And this is a great time that we can share as a group our thoughts. We'll receive that. By going to the microphone, make it so everybody can hear, and then it helps us for the record when we type up the minutes. And then we'll take that to the town council. So, we're here to, as a public hearing for the potential zoning restriction on in the town floodplain. The biggest reason that we're considering this is we've received some counsel from the 6th County and Utah local government and trust. They kind of said, hey, you might want to consider some of these things by reviewing what you currently have in place with your town code. And the fact that we do have a stream at certain times that comes down the canyon. And so, with that being said, I'd like to open it up to the public if you would come forward. If you have.
Can you explain more about what this means to us?
So, absolutely, Hugh. I'll do my best. I don't have all the answers. That's where I lean on Mr. Beauregard. He holds a lot of them. Basically, what it is our town, when we grow and develop, and there's subdivisions or new homes and roads and utilities that land in a floodplain, that puts your community at a level of risk with, so let's say the road washes out, let's say the utilities flood out. Right now, probably most of your roads aren't in those areas, but as you grow as a community, there's potential for that. And so we have to consider things as far as what level of insurance we require homeowners, landowners, developers, and how that would look. For the sake of, there's not a lot of revenue created in this town, so to speak. We don't have a big tax base. About the only thing that goes up is the water bill. You know what I mean? But when it happens, yeah, it gets points here. So I don't know if that helped or not.
Wow.
Go ahead, Mike. You got a question?
I'm on the town council of the city of Pono. This was brought to our attention kind of after y'all seen the news well down in southern Utah this past year. That got brought up, you know, where are we as a town on the flood? What is our restriction? What do we do to mitigate the problem if there is homes in the flood plain that septic? Because we are on a septic system, we are not on a sewer system. If there was ever a flood that came down and the sewage come up out of the sewer system, if the town didn't have any litigation on people building in these areas, the FEMA has designated as a flood zone. The town should be held responsible for cleanup and stuff like that. So we're just trying to make it.
So you are aware of an individual's right to do as he proper, what he can fit to do as he property? Is what you're basically saying, you want to limit what you can do with your own property again?
To some extent, I don't want to limit anybody's rights. I just don't want anybody else's rights infringed on if there's something put in there that the town has to inherit, like a road or a whole bunch of utilities. But if you put that there and it floods and there's damage, who's going to pay to fix the road? Just you? Or are we all going to have to
pay?
Then we wouldn't want to put it in there. Okay, so that's kind of...
Mine, I want to put it in. I'll take risk and jump in the floodplain anyway. No matter how, it's got to be over 52 feet to hit me, they're coming up on the floodplain.
I didn't draw the floodplain.
Maybe you ought to fix that first.
I don't think I can fix the floodplain. That's a bigger act than what I'm in control of. Yeah.
So, my house was built in 1908.
Yeah.
And it's still sitting there, and it's never been flooded, but I'm in the floodplain.
Yeah.
and Mel Tabor's standing next to the creek. And that's never been flooded.
What's on the floodplain and what was flooded before. Now, I know we moved Mel Tabor out of the top, but not because we thought it was going to go. And if it hadn't been for people on the creek bridge endangering their own lives, I think we'd have to go. But that's with the throw, you have to look at the places for insurance and so forth, and insurance companies are going to require flood insurance, and so it's just a way to look at things to see about planning in the future. It may not have got Dale Thornton's old home, but the water was right up to it. Black folks in the roads were diked in 83 and 84, and so there is a large area that's down there in that Indian farm area where the water got over the park. Up to just about to where the tennis court was, it was just a few feet from that during 83 and 84. And it's the same thing out south with the water from the field. In the time I've lived there, water has been, if you go over my new garden, we got up to about that far. In that, down on the waste hole there, and I'm using terms maybe some of you are not acquainted with still, but it was, the water was up to that point. And so when they discuss floodplains, they discuss what the 100-year possibility would be as far as where the water could cover. And so, but we have had times on the rest of the time where we've had these Chinook winds that have taken the snowpack off on the south field. And that is created as well. Joe's house would be flooded, and if that occurred again, and so that to me is a planning and zoning condition. I think it's just some this time we had a discussion on what we were going to do or what. Recommendations that we could give to the town as far as building on a floodplain. If you say the town can't tell me what to do with my property, but really the town better on put certain limitations on what you can do with your property. That's just simply and that's why we have a hearing, because to get the input from the town. But that is true in all aspects of it. But the town, in order to govern and so forth, the town can put certain limitations and does what you can do with your property. That's just the governance of the town.
So what are the limitations? For us, the bottom half of the lot is in the flood zone, the south half is not.
Yeah,
we want to add on to the home.
You'd have to take I don't know just where those lines would come to. I don't know where they would come there, but where your home is now, but which I think would be a safe place, but the bottom end of your lot would not.
So we wouldn't be able to build anything on the bottom.
Probably, yeah. If the bottom end would not be, if you couldn't build on the bottom end of that, your property.
So on the front fence, though, is that...
Well, and I'm not here, I don't know the ins and outs of all that. I just don't.
I do.
Okay.
You can't get a mortgage.
Without
in a flood zone, without flooding the door.
Say that again, though.
If you have a mortgage on your home,
yeah,
you can't get a mortgage if you live in the flood zone without flooding the door.
Yeah, and there you go.
And then if you spend, you know, $800 a year on flood insurance, and then you can go hire some expert for $1,500 to get you out of it.
Fun fact is you don't have to live in the flood zone, you still need flood insurance.
Question, Alan?
Yeah. Who's responsible for the maintenance of the 12-mile river? Because here a couple of years back, when we had some logs come down, dammed up just above my property line, and I was told by the city to eat a big old pile, and that they weren't responsible for the getting that log dam out of the river, and I was just up the creek. So, if the city's going to put limitations on this, someone needs to claim some responsibility for maintaining and clearing that river.
Fair enough. That's a great question. I can't answer too
soon. I ended up going to the Johnson Irrigation Company, and they brought an excavator out before they had to rip out half my damn trail to get it in there. But someone, I think a lot of this could be remedied if we had someone responsible and was clearing that deadfall out of that river every year.
But, so, see, that's the point in this meeting. I don't know that the town can take that responsibility.
So if you're going to put restrictions in, you ought to be able to take care of it.
Great point. That's why we're going to talk about. Because what if that was Lance's tree that fell down in the creek and went down to your property? You know, I don't know. There's a lot of questions.
But they're putting everything back on the property owners again, who are still taking care of their property. So yet you're trying to say you want to put limitation so you can't build on your property and bring it back saying you have to cover the cost. Which way is it going to be? Because if you buy the flood insurance, that covers everything that happens on that flood. I think you better drop a money maybe for it and drop health insurance. Now, no one wants a house on it, but I have to pay for absolutely everything. But you're saying you can restrict that because you have to pay the cost that has never been paid, never been accrued, and now everybody is built there. How does that work? Because if you look on that map, holy crap, the house is a flood one. Already there.
Yeah, great question.
No, I'm being serious. Yeah. You're going back and forth here to different places.
Go ahead, hand over here.
I don't think you can really stop anyone from building on the property if they can get a fire building permit and so forth and go through all the things that way. But if you're going to, you know, even though it's your property, if you're in an area where it's going to have a through road or something like that, that's going to be given over to the city and the town can't take responsibility of that until it's up to code and everything is met with that, because that's the problem, is the town can't be taking on someone else's liability.
That's not right. That's really the gist of it, where if you want to put up a barn or a shed or a trail, have at it. You know, but once we start eating over property and there's development and growth, it's not like we're working with a really big budget here. In the event that things are washed out or ruined and it comes back on the town, and that's why they want us to start having these levels of conversation.
It seems like to me the conversation needs to be not can you build on your property, it's can you build something on your property that is going to then be deeded over to the town's problem. And if that's the case, we don't want the problem. If from the town's perspective, we don't want the problem, you want to build a road on your property, go with God. But we're never going to do anything with it. It's your property, it's your road, it's your business. It's your problem when it washes out. Period. End of discussion, the town is not liable. It's your property, it's your problem.
Mayor, you have a thought. Go ahead.
I don't know if the zones are left, I haven't been around yet. The cause of the flood in 83 was the fact that the geological terrain of the creek, which is deeper east of what used to be the old mill site, which is just right above Travis House, has very steep terrain. Then at that point, it levels off. And a fast flooding creek will bring a lot more rocks and debris. And that then filled in the creek all the way down to the Central Park Road. And the first year when the flood came, it took the bridge down. The town rebuilt the bridge by raising it 2 feet on the existing abutments that were there, put new beams across it. The following year, we had high water again, and we had to take the deck off that, pull the beams off, because we just bolted them down, and walking out across those beams, I had a rope on me, I crawled across the beam to get to the far side, undid the bolt, fell off the beam, and when I put the beams up, I could walk under them. When I fell off them, I could stand up on the top of the beams that were on my knees. So the creek filled in almost 5 feet. That being said, that's why we got all the great big rock burns, because we dug the creek back out, built those big rock burns along there, and that got the water past that level of the spot. So it wasn't a log jam that caused it. I guess when we say somebody's got to protect it, from the mayor's point of view, the first thing that came out of everybody's mouth in English was that they got rain and everything flooded all over the place. Why did the town allow this development to be here? And developers went in, built all through that, built houses, and nobody ever thought there'd be a flood there. So the water came down the street, jumped over the fence, knocked the fence down, flooded the basement, and everybody said, the town is liable for the water that came off the hillside. So all the town's looking at is getting some input. Our ordinance is the way I read what we've got there, because you can't do things on your property. What we got is a recommendation from the Utah Trust, which basically insures the town, is you want to look at this and limit based on where lawyers are going with lawsuits. So we're looking to give guidance from you guys as to what you need. We'll mitigate that. The problem is that if someone builds a road, unless it dead ends on private property, it's either the owner, the private road, or it's open to the public. And if it's open to the public, then it becomes a city problem. You can say whatever you want about roads.
Right, exactly.
So, it's not like we're trying to block anybody. We're trying to get some input. As I read through the ordinance, and everybody's welcome to go on our website and read the flood zone ordinance, if you could understand the lawyer's case, but... So, if we, we're just looking for some input. I don't know if we're going to book anything tonight.
Just here. Yeah, we're just listening.
So, that's what I think I'm at from the mayor's point of view, not talking to anybody else. But I do know this, and Doug might be aware of it, but I've got pictures of it. At one point, when he was talking about that flood on the south field, I've got pictures of 100. It was 100 yards across the water that was flowing out down from the south field across the road to the cemetery. It was almost set up to that barn that's behind Sylvia's granddaughter's house, and set over past the road that goes, it was out onto the road that goes on the second layer. So it covered quite a pan of water there. And I think we've enlarged that culvert. I don't know how big the culvert was back then, but it did flood down through there in quite a big wide expanse. It came on down through the drainage and flooded down across and flooded the out of the road. But it's a once in a 100-year storm. So what we're going to do is say, yeah, you can build there. And then somebody says, well, you let us build there, not flood it. The town's responsible for all this stuff. And that's the other thing as a builder, I've seen a lot of homes that are built down. Well, I think it's too low, and I think homes ought to have some crown up to them. But a lot of times builders can then build a house, and they say, well, I've just dig out the basement, and I'm getting enough dirt to float it, and in certain cases, it does it. So, I guess from my point of view, having been a building, that's where I'd like to see it come, is about some kind of a standard that if we're going to do it, we buy flood insurance, and we place the house in the position where it does. If it takes a retaining wall, you know, you want to build. I don't have a lot of problems with building that. As long as we make the provisions to give us good suggestions for the homeowner that will protect him and, you know, the town's liability.
Thank you, Mayor. Go ahead.
Question,
what is this going to do to our property values and property taxes?
Will it make it go down?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Well, at this point, we have a ordinance that was adopted years ago that says we have a floodplain. And the floodplain position there was developed and governed by the Federal Emergency Management Corporation. So, they came down and looked at every town all through the United States and said, here's the likelihood, and developed a plan. Like you said, you go through some river roads, kind of mitigate that movement, and look at historic levels. You know, it might come too far over, then it's a huge, you know, what to do with, which is really unnecessary. But there's ways I think we can mitigate that with funeral, but we're kind of limited by what they've got and how we can kind of manage it.
I think that's the point that RV emphasized, even that is, these lines were not drawn by us. That's the people that said, this is your question.
Everything gets better
when
the federal government
is not necessarily.
Sometimes I think the person who may have drawn it looked at the topographical map, looked at the vertical, and created an area based on a topographical map. And so there certainly is mitigating circumstances that modify that. In relationship to property values, what's there is there. I don't think it's going to change any property value whatsoever. But the recommendation to the town from our insurance carrier was, what you got to do to make sure that we don't allow building in an area where it potentially could flood, and then they come back and say, you approve that permit. Once we approve a permit, the city has to take on some liability and responsibility. So, that we may not even change this, you know. Everybody ought to go through and read this and get an idea of what's the limit of what's in it, what they want. So, we're no experts on it. So.
Joe, you had a thought.
I'm full of thought. Do you recall what year that flooded from the South Field?
Yeah.
Was it like 64 or?
59.
Yeah. 59. No, the '50s are not. It flooded twice, but the one that you mentioned, it covered quite an area down there. Not only that, but after it passed through there, when it went down around the turn there, then it cut through that and flooded out into the field. Because that it followed the ditch. And it went over into the fields, and that, in the time that I lived there, it flooded twice.
Speaking of that, property, I know that since they put in pressure irrigation, and probably before the settlers came to put in flood irrigation, you probably didn't have that much problem. I know since they passed pressure irrigation, does not mean if you just put a cast and dig down 6 feet and get water, now you gotta go underneath those 20 feet of fill up that water. And so, that's the other issue too, is if you're going to have farmers out south of you, I mean, there has to be some type of flood mitigation out there also to protect us from having that issue. That's the responsibility. You can't own property and let the water run off into someone else's.
Well,
that's a lot.
I don't know what that would be.
But that's what I'm saying is that it's probably going to be looked at again just because since they put in pressurized irrigation, we
did not have any winters for snow to accumulate as long.
But even the grinders we have, I mean, you know, back before, you know, with flood irrigation, with flood irrigation, you go with that water. It's never been.
The flood came then in February. The ground was frozen, and it was about 10 inches of snow on the ground. It got a warm February, and now the ground was frozen and couldn't absorb anything. And so I think that's why it came off this surface. But I guess, you know, in answering your question, historically, there was rain, okay? Down through there at some point or something. Historically, there's always been drains down the floor bottom. There's been drains out of the wash that sits above the fuel base of the garage and through South Hollow. Periodically, we have floods down through there. But as everybody develops, you've got to try to mitigate that for what's above you. To keep it so that it doesn't go out and spread out and impact people. And so the more you develop and crimp the flow down, you have to make sure it stays clear. So I don't know.
I agree with this. In the building can still be done, and you can bring in all kinds of extra fill and things like that and create a panel for the water to run and go above the floodplain. So that's not an issue. I think the plans of the city or the town would be that if they allow a road to go through one place like that, that it's built correctly, that you don't have to come back in and rebuild it. I think that's really what I understand what you're getting at. I understand if some type of development like that goes in, it has to be built to where the flood mitigation is a problem. So,
this map was updated in what year, Linda?
2018.
2018, so that's where we're at. Okay.
So, that little narrow strip on Second West, where my house is on the corner, dead center in. But how wide is that? Is that like 160 feet wide?
It
can't be very wide.
It doesn't look it.
But to me, because them some things there to kind of do this. What we're talking about is bring that stream into a little narrower flow. I think it used to be down right through the back of a lot of those houses, right through the back of your property. I think that when they improved the house, they kind of figured it was the best thing to keep the low spot with people on the front side of the Second West, and then at that point it drifts down between the Canyon Road and First Floor. It drifts down out, but there's actually one house to the west of the road, and those two houses are actually west of that drainage, and it's been piped. If the pipe is 30 inches, would it pack the whole stream? I don't know. You know, but if we did build a bunch there, you know, if we pipe it in 30 inches, we'd make that about it, you know. But I think if someone got the danger, I think the whole community is about to turn back, you know. What we don't want to do is get somebody that's here and then well down here, they'll have a hard time sandbagging someone when they didn't use this judgment. So, maybe I spoke too much for just being a citizen right now.
I think you're helping us out, Mayor. I do appreciate you. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I guess my concern is, and I have a resident of the ordinance, is that the bottom part of the property is in flood, the top half is not, but there's an ordinance that affects the entire property no matter what.
So that's something I think that maybe we need to look at.
Just the area that would be in the flood zone.
But because you have property in there, you know, I don't think that the upper half, according to what I want up now, is in the flood zone.
Well, not, but if there's an ordinance that says, you know, the property is located in it.
No.
You know, just going back.
I think the state basically, without what that board, now I might be wrong, but I think it basically says you can build in it right now as long as we, so in this case, it doesn't get right. I need to see someone build right over the top of that ditch, per se.
Right, but if the one that found, you know, talks about flood insurance, it says, well, you still got to carry flood insurance, you know, within your kind of property. So the flood rail is located in there, you know, is that going to be a requirement or not? I don't know.
Well, I'd say, look at all of that. I don't know how to answer that. It's the law that requires all the whole lot, or
so it's just structures that are in the flood zone. Because that property is long there, but to that. Three, how long? I think that's one of the big things, and that's insurance. Mortgage insurance. Bill did on that just a little while ago. They're not going to give you a mortgage unless, if you're in a flood zone, unless you have flood insurance. Period.
How much does it cost to have FEMA come to remount it? You guys look into that?
Yeah, the flood zones is several different elevations up that we're in a certain flood zone, you're going to pay more. If you're further away from the source, you're going to pay less. I mean, all those things make a difference. I mean, if you're right in the flood zone, you're going to pay more than you can pay. So.
Well, the other thing is, too, is when it comes to insurance, you have to pay for the flood insurance policy. If you make it an NFIP insurance policy, it's going to cost you a way more premium.
Way bigger.
Well, most of what we do is like an MIT for sure.
In the back, Mr. Bullock. Go ahead, Hart.
Yeah, over there, you know what Brian said? There hasn't been a flood over there since 1894, when my uncle got drowned. And you can read about it in the family, or the whole family history of the town. There's not been a real big flood since then, but it's always been in the flood zone there. There's always that chance you get a big flood, and it'll come right down past the old garage, right down. Every drop of my property is in the flood zone. There was one time in 61, they had a big storm, the basement house was raised in, had 4 foot of water. See, just that in the time. All the rain. And that little older mountain up there. So if it happens that fast, so, and I don't want me ever do, I'd rather find a dollar right there to ever protect myself. It's there, it's just one of them things. So, looking at the flood plain, along the creek or whatever, I don't think what that's so cool. It can happen that fast.
Thank you.
So, I have one other comment.
Go ahead, Stu.
So, when it rained really hard here 6 months or so ago, we had water running all over. We had clogged up enough culverts and stuff that there was no water down below my, or no culverts down below my lane to get the water across the road. And there was water around that Welcome to Mayfield sign, that deep,
yeah,
with no place to go. And there was water behind Bart and Cat and Pal. If it would have rained another couple hours, I think one of those two houses would have water. Because there's no
outlet
anymore for it to go. There used to be a cement ditch down along Maryville, and we put high pressure water lines through it, another line through it. There used to be a ditch by Cassie's house, and we filled up the ditch all the way down along there. And it did finally run through that culvert, but like he said, it doesn't take very long in heavy rain for us to have water for somebody to get flooded pretty quick.
Thank you.
And that was not only really talking to you guys about it. If you had the one cover, don't be able to cover it under that road.
There is this map that is inside Jason's property now, Maribel's property, on my fence line that went all the way down along there. Mm-hmm. And it went under the road just south, or north of our south. And I think, I'm not positive, but I think when they put the high pressure line in down along there, they run it through that culvert. And there used to be the same thing. There was a pit that ran down through just south of my house. And it ran clear down and under the road. Just out of Cassie's house, and they watered the field down there and over at the, I can't think of his name, Beth's house. And there's still a big cement divider there, but I'll bet the hole in that culvert is that big around. It wasn't there at all after they got done with the gas, and so I made them go back and dig it out.
So it sounds to me like some of our drainage could use a little nature.
Well, yeah, we need to get some culverts back to get the water across the road.
I don't know it. When they did what they did, figured it would just drain north to the creek or what on that piece or what, but it's still going to come up and go over the road, I think, before it would go to the creek.
Yeah, we put driveways over the walks and over the
driveways.
If it did have a down slope there anyway, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be with that. I don't think the slope goes north. Does it, guys? One highway, 137, if you don't ditch line run north or south, there's a lot of run. I have three ditches that run north and south in the field. So, and then the old main ditch ran east to west, and when she was talking about running south. But I think with Bart's driveway and Kathy's driveway, that's what's filled in, so we shouldn't get water to take that, follow that gutter. On the highway all the way to the creek. I think we have to figure out another way to get through there. That's a good point. I didn't know I just backed up that much. So.
Well, it was in my lower pasture, and there was basically no way to get it out other than direct the cabbie or
water. See, if that culvert had been open, the old ditch there that was going,
it
would have gone on.
And if they had to fill the fence line up when they put the water lines in, so it had got over the net and that ditch, it would have been no problem at all.
And really, Steve, you really bring up the whole point of the meeting is what we've done in the past and what has changed over time. We don't want to be the reason that Cassie's house gets flooded. Because we covered up the culvert, we didn't have the right drainage, and we've allowed people to go ahead and do things without trying to limit rights or take away privileges or anything that we want to call it. We want to try to govern, work with each other. I mean, I want Kevin to be able to build on his house and be able to do what he needs to do as long as it fits and stays, and we don't have to worry about the next guy coming back to bite Kevin's house. And I can't believe you guys sold this house. It's in a floodplain. I can't believe you let him build it. And I bought it, and now I've got this problem. You know,
so, but Kevin's lot's big enough, and he's nothing like it. I'm built on the house, on the part that's not in the floodplain.
Probably so. I mean, you just have to down look at it. Yeah, I have to look at it directly. But Lance, you got a thought? Over here.
Yeah, I do have a thought. I'm on the Order Road right there where it's kind of almost up to the Order Road. And I pay for flood insurance. I have the whole time since I've been there. It's over $1,000 a year. That takes the city right out of the equation pretty much. Because if it floods, I pay the deductible. I have to, you know. And I buy a few more properties on each side of me that weren't Boonville price. And they were housing prices. And if I want to sell them, I'd like to sell them, but it sounds to me like the infrastructure is the Order Road, so that would be the only thing that you could do with the city if the house got built on the opposite side of it. Then that's where the person that buys that property, they take full responsibility and pay for flood insurance. But what's funny about that is Renee Christensen, your mom, your grandma's house, is way lower than mine. And this is one thing that they were saying earlier. It's way lower and it's not in the floodplain. But my house is, but it's like anything higher than her house. So that's like they take a picture from who knows where, tell them to draw the little line and it's all good. That's not how it should be. They should come and take care of it if they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when my house was going to go before Renee's house goes, because it's right on the corner right there, and it's a trick to go by my house on the straightaway. I'm up 6 or so feet above the level. It just jumps that thing. It's real sharp, goes right on there and takes out that house. And that's what happened in 1983, is that. But it's not in the flood zone. So, to me, I don't, something's not right with it. Now, I don't want to be told that I can't sell the property to each side of me to put a house on just because the city doesn't want to sell the building to those houses if they have that flood insurance anyway. That doesn't make a drop of sense.
Comment to that?
Yeah. Dave Redmeister, who's the area? 5 years since we're here.
Welcome.
No, the things that we need to look at is existing culverts and drainage. We're not looking, or you're not looking, to change the rights of what people can and cannot do with their problems. That's not what you're here for.
Right.
What we need to look at is, also, if we're going to build them roads, it's not the houses either side of you that these guys are taking on, that they know we're taking on. It's the roads leading to those places that the city is going to be deeded to problem.
And utilities.
And if the city's going to accept those and accept them in the city, then every single person in the town of Mayfield is responsible for that, not just the homeowners here in the floodplain.
Thank you.
And we need to look at that, because that involves every single one of us.
Go ahead, Ben, right, in the back.
That brings up a good point, you know, that 7 feet between the park and, you know, Order Road over there, if that was ever taken on, then we could have to be
ready.
If that was ever sold to be subdivided, you know, like Mayfield State, we're dealing with that right now. Well, when that's all done, the city gets these of them roads that they're putting in over there. So if Jason sold out land then that we subdivided, we can't tell Jason that he can't subdivide his land. But when he's done subdividing that land, the city inherits.
All of you inherit.
The city inherits all the roads, the water lines, all the utilities. You know, that's what we're trying to lay out, you know, what, I mean,
But then that goes back to question, when you do or when you pop off anything, Mansfield, forgive me for saying this, since you've got meeting later. Mansfield, nothing but growth. It's nothing. It's
you're going through growth. There is no doubt about it.
So I agree with you, like
100%.
So if we'll use my example. Mine's the biggest one there. We'll use it for instance. So say you did want to do that. Okay, so you bring a barrier back to the creek. You bring those roads up. You make it so, like you said, the water can disappear. Well, Steve's taken earlier. Well, what happens to Steve's has to happen anywhere in the town. It don't have to be a point. It could happen anywhere. So, forgive them. You do that. You do that. You break a barrier on the side. You bring that barrier up. You reinforce the creek. You make this stuff happen in the beginning. Then you're not worrying about it. But I think a lot of people have the understanding that you're going to go in and say, you need a better self saving. You're going to go in and say, no, you can't build it, you can't do that. I understand you really can, but can't, but do it right in the first place. So when that subdivision, and I've stopped saying this one goes over there.
Jason, be careful.
No subdivision, no walking park, no
rough. I'm not asking you. We need to adjourn.
Anybody
want to
say hello? Make it wrong. If you're building right, now the creek is a whole different thing. We're all human. So that's kind of the worst one of the bunch. But, you can't, the house is this way, so the houses are there now. Nothing can be done. They're in and there. So you kind of set a precedent, but maybe modifying the precedent.
We don't want Angel to grow, we all can agree on that. Right?
And
we're not going to stop that, but we can put a restriction on,
Not too many good restrictions on who moves in.
No.
I feel like there should be a move
in. Oh, yeah.
Then half of you wouldn't have made it here.
That you don't want to have a light building, but this will change.
Yes, yeah, we've got to bring
so both areas are what you're worried about.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, man.
I think Jason made a comment about if the town inherits the road, make sure they're high enough so the water never gets to them. I saw a subdivision in Hebrew just a couple weeks ago, and they've done just that. The road was probably 2 feet above the field that they built it in. Curves and gutters on both sides had dropped off 2 feet, and I thought, holy crap, every house that builds in there, if they want to try to get some positive flow up to the house, the code says, they're going to bring in 3 feet of fill. So I'm going, well, I'm not even saying 2 feet, but I'm saying, like you just talked about the ditch, room is also a ditch.
If you ever did drill on there, and we all know this, so you'd have to have a barrier between the creek and that. Probably. Or you would have to figure out a way to make that creek, a little more full. It wouldn't take a whole lot.
Well, it already flows a whole lot better than it did in 1983.
No, exactly.
I mean, so it's about four times the size of what whole time was telling me. I mean, we just jumped across it before, but I don't know.
What group is going to decide how stuff is set up?
Say this goes down the road a little farther. You guys want to change it. Where is that input coming from?
I have to ask you a question back to you. Who has control of the river? Who has, so Gunnison's irrigation told me that they're the only ones that can touch the river. As far as the city drainage in Colbert, I guess that's the city, but does the city have any say over the river, or is Gunnison irrigation the only one that can touch the river?
Another problem. Technically, you cannot interfere with the flow of the river. If you take a, let's just go back, Jason, on your property right there. The reason for that, main reason for that, and Steve alluded to that, is because right there at the creek bridge on the Indian Farm Road there, that's bedrock. And so the creek cut down above that, cut deep down below that, when it got down to there, then that bedrock stopped and it started to drill back to the east there and it flooded out, then across the field. Mm-hmm. So that geological formation is still there.
That's basically what
caused that your land and so forth there to be flooded is because that bedrock right just east of the bridge stopped the creek from cutting down. And sea raises there, and then we raise it another 2 feet when we put the new bridge in there. And so that, is it kind of complicated?
So
you guys go along and you decide you want to change a couple things. Are we going to have input? Or is the board going to do it? Or is the ground going to do it? Yeah. Or are you just going to hand it off to them and make it stop a button on it?
I
think this is a healthy situation.
Yeah.
As I understand it, that sounds kind of new, but the county council votes representing the people, right? And so we can't change an ordinance, we can't change a policy, we can't change costs, we can't change anything without public hearing. And so, from our point of view, this is one of the healthier discussions we've had, and we appreciate it. And if you don't think things are going right, for heaven's sake, come to think about how to make it work, we need to see how to make it work. So it's for everybody's benefit, but we can hold on the record of management within the ordinances that are on the code book now. We can't change the ordinance without having a public hearing. Please look at the code, because sometimes there's more there than what's necessary. And I'd like to see it work streamlined or some of them, but the legalistic people that write those things, they spend a lot more time than I do read them. I think they're way too much gene counters in there.
Yeah. Don't take all the property owners that are in this room and didn't have input on what the final decision is going to be. That's why they're all here.
The process for making a change in land use is first it goes to the Planning and Zoning Commission, they have a public hearing, they get input, then they might, will take all this input, they might decide, and then they want to have a second public hearing, if there's things haven't been resolved completely. Then after they get done, they could then present what they voted on. They'll vote on it at some point. They vote not even mess with them. Then they'll, once they vote on it, then it comes to the town council. The town council has to have another public hearing. So it's a little more of a long process to get changes made. So.
Well, and so far, you guys got some excellent points that we need to have a commission and council. We need to go back and say, hey, let's try to answer some of these questions. Because I've never had to deal with it my entire life until tonight. And so this is part of the process where there's a lot of questions that we have and things we need to have answered. And in time, with you guys' reflection and thought on it, I assume we'll be back in a similar meeting like this in the future.
You know, Doug mentioned that you can't change the trick. But I don't know what you're going to do. The pictures that my uncle took, Stanford took out a lot of the trip there. That trick it down to the Indian Club up there. It used to cover just about 400 farms, driving back and forth. Stanford got approval to move the trick over closer to the north side, which is keep the fields on the same side of the trail. So, at one point down just west of Lancaster, along where Aunt Renee's down into your property, Jason, that trip used to run right over against the hill and circle back. And how long ago that was, I have no clue. But there's a swell right there that creates that. So, the trip moves, and now that we've got development on it, we've got to try to make sure we mitigate and don't allow it to jump out where we don't want it to go. So. So anyway, that's
further comments, thoughts, feelings.
I'll say one other thing. When I read this zoning ordinance, too, that you mentioned about the elevation, and I think someplace in here. There's a base elevation, and I guess I'm thinking that base elevation is like along the Mississippi River where it's flat for 400 miles, and yet we couldn't call a base elevation. One down here on the Highway 137 would be one elevation, one up on the Park Road would be another one, up farther up would be different elevations because that could still flood. So it's kind of a floating target trying to say, how far will it go, and what is our base elevation in specific locations? Out south, I think we've got a better chance because it's kind of continual grade. So I think there's a lot of variables we need to look at and see. And my concern is we're not sure whatever we've got for stream flow through these areas, we can kind of get directions where we want to go so it doesn't impact people's homes. That's my concern.
That map on our website, Amanda, how do they gain access to that map? Yeah. Okay, so they can pull up mayfieldtown.org and they can click on that.
It's on the general plan.
On the general plan. Okay.
And just while you hear that, in the code book, there's a place where it comes from that order, there's a place where it comes up the other plan, and that's where this map's on. So. Don't hesitate to look it up.
Your turn, Ben. Bob,
Ben. All this stuff, there's a lot of questions, so good questions to ask. I think Lance made a valid point in looking at the possibility of having somebody shoot some grade on that. So I suspect the trouble with that is what you guys said. Somebody somewhere drew a line around the contour map on that. Topographical
map,
and that's what they just said
that,
and probably would
look
and see
what the paper is. Well, it makes you wonder what level of communication the town has had with FEMA and the creation of that. Zero. But go ahead, Jim.
That would be one of my things that I haven't heard brought up, except one mention, is there any way that working with FEMA we can mitigate some of the problems that we have that are just happen in towns like this, not in flat country, but that is local to how we do things with different elevations of how we do things. I don't know what that is, and I don't know if that may be something that the town can help look into, or if it has to come from the landowner. But I think it might be something that is worth looking into anyway, to see if we can make some of these problems go away. Like your question on, is my whole land now going to be leaf flood insurance if I don't build, if I build on that area? I don't know, but that may be able to be changed within that scheme of definition, that we might be able to make our own that makes a lot more sense for us.
Mr. Bidler, thank you.
Well, I think this, I don't know what FEMA rules and laws are, but I think that if you, I don't know about, in 83 and 84, we got, the town got a lot of help from FEMA, didn't
they?
But that, well, when they re-channeled, put the creek back over into the channel, all that digging was done by funds from FEMA, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he was involved
in all of the mitigation of those floods.
Yeah,
was handled with the channel.
And I don't know if you disregarded the rules, or like if you had a disregard for what FEMA suggestions are or what the rules are. I don't know if you can access the help or not, but the town obviously received a great gift from FEMA, because I don't know how the town budget would have ever covered the cost of doing all that they did down along the creek. And I think that's why you need to work with FEMA to know what the technicalities are and the rules are that you need to follow to get their assistance, because I'm sure what was done would be hundreds of thousands of dollars back in 83 and 84. The town still had to put in the bridge. I don't know if you did that with FEMA funds or not.
And it's only getting paid by the Mayfield County Cut.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess they're
only getting paid for it again later on to get the bridge the way it is. But I think that we need to have certainly be in line with FEMA guidelines.
Yeah. I think that's what's called the moving control.
Any other thoughts?
I have. Does the town have input with the state on culverts under the roads and things like that?
That's a UDOT question I just can't answer. I'm assuming there's got to be something.
Because they found everything on the other side of the road, on the west side of the road, under the road, right there by Elton Apple.
Yeah.
But they clogged all those other culverts, so I can't get out.
Right.
The one thing we did create that I'd like to look at is west of that connection right there is we've allowed people to fill in with the roadway, so there is no gutter along that. We've allowed people to lay out the asphalt and just right up to the property. And that's kind of one of my concerns in any place we have development, is that we create the drainage away from the road so water can flow. I didn't realize that they had pipes out under the road to get to that north side. And so I get a hold of UDOT and we see about what we can do to get that on the crew.
Grant, welcome to the meeting.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. We've got a lot of getting put tonight.
Yeah. I think Jason here, Adam knows when he said the planning and building communication level would be a little bit stuck. Even the bedrock in the creek, a little bit of dynamite can wear it out.
We want to be careful how fast we send the water down.
Sure.
I got one other item that's not related to this discussion.
Take the floor, Mayor. I don't think anybody will stop you.
I think that the commission has to look at possibly one ordinance here. In one of the codes in section that the mayor writes it down, 15.20.1.3, it lists a flood zone administrator. And the list that was John Christensen, who was the mayor when they redid this. I'd like to recommend that we see if we can change that phrasing to the current mayor as the flood zone administrator, unless designated by the town council to a specific individual. I think if you start listing one guy's name,
well,
mayor's change, we end up with a...
Yeah, great point, Mayor. Absolutely. Something we'll take into account.
Everybody has their say, or I think. Yeah. I make a motion to adjourn.
Second, right here, Mandy, let's take a vote on that. All in favor, say aye. Aye. The meeting will close. Unanimous vote to close the meeting.
Thank you, for your input.
Thank you.